Sorry for the introduction, Lim. We like to record these because we put them up on our website, and we missed some of it, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. Should I
try to remind that? But you're exactly right. If you can get something in writing that they're going to partner with you, that's excellent. If you're in a rural area and you don't have organized labor, then you want to go to your larger employers. If you don't have large employers, you also want to go to the Workforce Investment Board. And these are very important organizations. If you haven't contacted your Workforce Investment Board yet, you need to get a hold of them. One-stops, they're called one-stops, or Workforce Investment Boards, and tell them what you're planning on doing to the extent that you could get them to partner with you. And when I say partner, they might write a letter of support or commitment that they're going to help you. At this point, most of you should probably have touched base with your Workforce Investment Board. You're going to have in this grant a way of providing life skills and the non-environmental training. And the Workforce Investment Boards have entrees into this type of training. So you may have already touched base with them. You need to contact them. Again, in a rural area, you want to find the closest Workforce Investment Boards and one-stops and see what kind of services that they could provide you. The services they're going to provide you, you'd want them to kind of list that and get that into your grant in terms of what they're going to provide.
Now,
that would be very important. So,
in terms of partnership with the city, does for instance, with let's say if the city of Boston, if we're looking into them to provide a letter of support, what kind of support would you be looking from the city for this project normally?
Well, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people ask, they think of letters of support, and there's a lot of fluff letters of support by congressmen, and you know, and when we're talking about earmarks, you know, we get congressmen and high up people saying we support this project is a good thing. This isn't really what we're looking for here. We're looking for letters. I like the term letters of commitment. From the city, what we want is support services. What can you get from the city in terms of support services? And we're really talking about here, how do you leverage your training with the city? Are you going to, you know, will the Office of Economic Development work with your program? That's what you want. And you want, and there's another section in this of references. You want to, whoever you talk to, if you're going to use them as a reference, you want to make sure they know all about your intents and your program, and because they're going to probably be called. And they're going to ask for their phone numbers and names, contact information. So you really want them to know all about your program. You really want meat rather than just, we support this program. Everybody supports job training programs. So what they're looking for is, what are you going to get from them? What are they going to commit to? And I would target city offices that have services that you can use. For example, if you could get free bus transportation in an urban environment, something from the city that would help. Excuse me. Office of Economic Development, there might be an employment development office. There may even be a brownfields office that. We also have talked about partnering with. You have to make sure if there is a brownfield in your community, and you could find that by going to the EPA website. If there is a brownfields in your communities, and we'll put some of these things in a post-session notes that we'll send to everyone, but you definitely want to go to the EPA site, and if there is a brownfields, you want to find out who the person is in that brownfields. You may want to use them as a reference, get their name, phone numbers, contact information, and you definitely would want them to be working with you. Anyone who is in charge of cleaning up that brownfield, you'd want them to be aware of your program and working with you. Any large employers in the community, you might have people who are going to leverage, and this is going to get into the other part of it, of the budget. You really need to leverage your program.
I like the idea, the suggestion you just made. For instance, if you want to partner with the city and ask for that support, like leveraging the transportation support from the city, that is a good example there. What
Yes.
would be others that you could ask the city
Well,
to?
definitely transportation. Employment services is another. Another is life skills training that may not be in City Hall, but it may be, they may direct you to who's providing life skills support. You may facility support, for example. They may have practice areas that you could use. So there are quite a few. If you go through the different city offices, you're going to find see people who are sympathetic to what you're doing because it does mean jobs, and it'll lead you on to other people that could help you. But you're going to have to figure out a way of leveraging your resources to provide your life skills training. And of course, a very important part of this is how are you going to place and track your people? Placement services are very important, and here is something where the WIB, some cities have these services, but others, in Lim's case, if you're talking about working with veterans, you definitely want to go get involved with the disabled veterans, veterans societies. You may want to work with veterans organizations that
Right.
will help you with people, to support people, to give them services, maybe transportation also,
Right.
to help place them,
Well, in our
to
case,
give
we
them
actually
counseling services.
looking in we are thinking of partnering with the Veterans Homeless Shelter. They would be the lead grantee, and because they have a lot of those resources in place, they know how to deal with this population, so they will be the lead grantee for this project. We are
Okay.
sort of like a sub contractor for the technical training component and the employment resource for them.
Right. That would be excellent. Now remember, as you as a contractor, they even though you're going to be written in there, they're going to have to go out on bid, even though you may likely be the most qualified. If you have to look at your structure, your subcontracts, and this would go for everyone. If you're going with a nonprofit like a community college or community organization, you can have a no-compete bid. They become a sub-grantee. You have to justify that. If you're going with contractors, you have to make sure that you do the competitive bidding, even
Right.
though no matter what their price is, you need to justify that you're going to be using them for your technical support or whatever.
I see.
They're also what's going to be very important if they've ever gotten federal money or grants from anyone, you're going to want to use, they're going to, and they probably know all about this, talking about their history and what grants they've had and what they can do in terms of progress reports and that. One thing that is important in the budget portion, it's interesting that this community involvement and employer partnerships is 22 points out of 100, which is over a fifth of the total evaluation. Budget is only 8 points, but it's still very important, where you're going to have to list out all the budgets for your training. The most important thing in budgeting is being aware of indirect costs, and this is a particular to EPA. They are not allowing administrative and indirect costs as part of this grant, which means essentially most organizations have overhead for copiers and administration and for the building and electricity and all that. And they add an indirect cost in. And unfortunately, several years ago, the regulation was put in for these EPA grants that you cannot charge indirect costs. You can't charge even the cost of writing the grant or grant administration. So this is something you have to keep in mind in both your budgeting and your implementation of it. those costs are going to have to be picked up with some, by someone else. And in the case of working with the Veterans Administration, that works very well because the VA, they have their administrative infrastructure all set up. They're already paying their accountants and they're doing their administrative and they've got their facilities pretty well set. So you're basically working as an add-on program to that. But you can't count those, you can't write those off in the grant. You need to identify those, though, as leveraged resources. Leveraged resources are very important in this grant because they're tracking the amount of leveraging that is going to be done as part of the grant. So,
can you give a couple example what those leveraging resources would be?
Well, leveraging is, and you can use your imagination, it's just about everything that's not paid for by the grant that's going to be done. For example, facilities may be leveraging, in kind we call it, facilities, rent, electricity, instructors, tools, equipment, all kinds of things, placement services, and you need to, people make the mistake of not itemizing or not considering all the things that are leveraged. It's really what is leveraged is everything that's not covered by the grant that's going to be done in the project. Those are all monies coming from somewhere else. A lot of people don't realize how much contributions they get from other places. The only thing this grant is paying for is the basically the direct training administration of the environmental components of this grant, but some recruitment, student assessment, training, student placement and tracking, but everything else is going to be leveraged. So you could very easily leverage more money than this grant is going to bring in. And there might be a little bit of a challenge to start ferreting all those things out, but the list is quite long when you come down to it. And just different examples like your phone, maybe leverage your accounting services, your certainly your grant administration may be leveraged, is a leverage, someone is being paid. It's an indirect cost that's being paid by someone else. Facilities, there'll be tools that you use. You might have guest instructors coming in. You might be supplying training materials. That would also be, if you're going on a field trip or something, you might have transportation services that are also leveraged. I would say one of the big leveraged items often is salary of people who are assisting in the program but not really being charged to the program. They might be instructors, part-time instructors, or consultants that come in, speakers that come in and teach, that type of thing.
I have a question about the, I think there's a difference between indirect costs and administration costs. For example, if you have a project director that is over some other project, and can that person, portion of that person's time be allocated to this project, or you would not allow that?
No, he can, if he's working, if he's administering the project, it's okay. If he's administering the grant, there are restrictions on that. In other words, ineligible grant administration would, for example, preparation of applications for the grants or subgrants, that is ineligible. Record retention, record keeping, preparing revisions and changing in budgets. The grant administration, the people in the front office, for example, payment requests, non-federal audits, closeouts, those things that have to do with the grant administration are ineligible. But those people who are actually project managers of the environmental program, those are allowed. So, and the portion of their time would be allowed. That would be called a direct cost associated with the program.
Okay, thank you.
You kind of see the difference. I think the difference in my simplistic difference is the guys over there in the front office or in the administration building are not allowed. But the guys that have their feet to the fire and are seeing students and instructors day to day, those are the direct, those are involved, those are allowable.
Thank you.
The thing I can't drum home enough probably though in today's session is as you're writing this grant, just start to go through these sections and go line by line and answer each question very specifically and as concisely as you can. That's hint number one. That's the most important thing you can do. The second thing I think important is to develop partnerships and get as close to a commitment of some sort that will interview your students, will provide instructors to your program, we've worked with you, not letters that say, you've got a nice program and we believe in job, or we support this program. And you have to be careful. These can't be cookie cutter letters. If they get five letters of support that all say the same thing, that they're meaningless. It's just a waste of paper. They want to, what we want are these kind of commitments that we're going to provide. We can provide an instructor. We'll see your students. We can perhaps provide some equipment. You can come over and see our facility. We like what you're doing. We'll provide resources. And that kind of counts double. They're committing. They're part of your program. If you can get them on your advisory board, we would like to serve on your advisory board. And to the extent that those supporters are also employers, again, you're kind of killing two birds with one stone, where these are potential employers who are going to be hiring your students. So we try to keep these programs, the professional learning community sessions, down to 30 minutes. So we're going to wind this up, but we're going to have another session on March 2nd. And I'll send everyone post-session notes, but on March 2nd, we're going to kind of do an overview of the grant and look at the attachment section and the reference sections. And then anyone who has any questions, by March 2nd, we're coming down to the wire, so we can kind of fine-tune some of the grants, what everyone's been doing. Meanwhile, between now and then, if you have any questions, you can email them to Glow or myself, and we'll try to get you the answers in either the post-session notes or in the next session. So we'll see you all again at the same time from Eastern time from 2 to 2:30 and Central time 1 to 1:30 on March 2nd.
Okay,
and,
thank you.
Talk to you
bye.
Then.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
thank
take
you.
Care now.
Everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
We're going to go